You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello. You're listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I have the pleasure of chatting with Nathan Siegel. Nathan has worked as a professional writer and marketer for more than two decades. He's been published in over 1,000 magazine publications across the globe, and he's the author of 11 different books, mostly about computer graphics and photography, interestingly. We'll ask about that. And we're going to also talk about how books can be used for authoritative positioning in your business, really to help you demonstrate your authority and expertise in whatever industry you happen to be in. So, Nathan, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So we've just been chatting before I hit record about the work that you're currently doing now. But before we dive into this idea of books as authoritative positioning, you want to give a little bit of history on what where you've come from, the writing work that you've done, and the experience that you've gained as a result?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the whole writing thing, it was never intended. I never wanted to be that. I wanted to be a software instructor, but I got fired from my job. And after 2 weeks of twiddling my thumbs, my cousin, who was a freelance writer, came over one day and he said, "Do you want to learn how to write?" I didn't have any options. I said, "Yes." And he just told me what to do. And I just followed his instructions. Now, one of the things he did at the very beginning, he asked me to do something called a mind map. And it was basically drawing a circle in a piece of paper, a whole bunch of lines out, and then coming up with ideas. Now, I did it, but I knew already from the very beginning what I wanted, which was photography and computer graphics. And I didn't have any money to buy any of this stuff, but he told me about how to do it. And at one point, he took me into his living room and he showed me a shelf full of software. And he said, "You know, when you get going, you could probably do better than me." And I remember thinking that it was full of it, but I didn't tell him that. 5 years down the road, after doing this for a while, I was in the middle of a relationship breakup and I had to get rid of all the software in my basement. And when I took a good look, now that was in the days when we were still getting it shipped as opposed to digital online downloads. But I had the equivalent, I had 10 liquor store boxes full of software. Wow. And that's when I realized I'd gone light years beyond what he was telling me that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you ended up doing a lot of writing on the subject of both software, I'm assuming, and photography.
Where, yeah, computer was graphics, it, yeah.
A sort of instructional stuff, or what were you writing?
Yeah. There were two major things I was doing. I was writing reviews and I was writing software tutorials, how to use stuff. So Photoshop has an example in that, how to correct your images or how to fix a leaning building and stuff like that.
Cool. I think I probably would have used the type of stuff that you've written at some point.
There's still stuff kicking around out there. If you go to a website called Creative Block, BLOQ in the UK, you can probably find some of my articles there.
So this obviously, you know, you write one book and then another book and another book. This positions you as an authority over time in that area, right?
Sort of yes and sort of no. I mean, the way that I became an authority at one point in my industry was way back in 2001. I was hired to write for a magazine called Streaming Media World. And I wound up interviewing people from all over the world. And the thing that really changed my life, at least for a while, was 9/11. Mm-hmm. And what happened was that the directive came down from management like business as usual. 2 weeks later, they asked me to write a whole bunch of stories to do with 9/11. And one of them was a story called Video Phones Behind the Scenes in Afghanistan. And I wrote about what happened with the Chinese spy plane incident, the CNN crew that were detained, how they got the video out of China using the talking head technology. And I wound up interviewing the director of bureau operations at CBS. Mm. And when that got out there, the hit counter went off the chart and I was getting phone calls from all over the place. It was a lot of fun, actually.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So, but in terms of books, like what put me on the map in a way, it was a joint venture I did with a software company in Canada. When this was outside of the normal freelance writing thing, but because I wanted to increase my income, mm-hmm. magazines, there was a ceiling, a cap, if you will, and I couldn't go beyond it. So I started learning about internet marketing, and I wound up writing a book called The Photoshop Companion. And then at one point in the manual that I was studying, it said, forget everything you learned, we're going to talk about joint ventures. And that's what changed everything. And so I shopped that around, and I wound up with a contract with a, or a joint venture rather, with a software company in Canada, mm-hmm. and wrote a book. I rewrote the Photoshop Companion to their software, and they sold it as a value add with their software. And that's how it worked. And that was my first introduction into joint ventures and this internet marketing, which is very, very different from what I was doing before.
So this is an interesting thing that you bring up here, because I know where we're going with the topic of book publishing for authority, but
yeah.
You've just demonstrated an interesting way to differentiate, just as a book for authority differentiates a professional,
yeah.
to differentiate the software simply by including a book alongside it. That
yeah.
Where did that idea come from?
You know something, I'm not really sure, but I pitched Corel, that's the name of the company, Corel mm-hmm. Corporation.
Yep, I remember them. Corel Draw, if I remember yeah. correctly. Yeah,
That's the overall name for all their products.
Okay.
The product I was writing about was called PhotoPaint, which is their photo editing software, which is the main competitor to Photoshop, or one of them at any rate. And I had a prior relationship with Corel because I was writing reviews of their software and doing tutorials. So they weren't completely an unknown, but when I came in, I said, you know, I've got this manual about Photoshop. I know it's a conflict because it's another product, but I said, there's some of my stuff is perfect. I don't need to change it, but I will take all my tutorials and I will brand them to your software. What do you say? And they said, yes. And that's how we got started.
That's great. And I imagine that nobody else was doing what you ended up doing.
At that time, no. I was the first one, and they told me later that I was their first joint venture. They'd never done one before.
That's great. So I know, because you and I happen to be in a joint venture community together. So clearly this is a concept that has stuck for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it didn't stick well enough. In retrospect, I didn't have a system for doing what I was doing, so I made a lot of mistakes, but recently came back into it. And then the way that we wound up meeting is because of the JVology 5-day challenge. Mm-hmm. And then, as I was saying to you earlier, they had a contest. And I played very intentionally at one point once I realized what was going on, because I knew it could help me. And I won the contest. And that's why we're having this conversation, is because Jay Fassett was saying, you know, a great way to find JV partners is right here in this group. I mean, they're all pre-qualified. Why don't you reach out to them? And I'm going, it was like, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
And it was just so easy, and I reached out to a few people, and here we are.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad we are, because one of the things that I hope we're all going to learn from you now is a little bit about how to utilize the idea of a book to help grow your business. You sort of walk us through what the outline of what you do with business owners and how the book enters into it?
Yeah, it's a really simple concept, and it came from reading, it came from a course. It was part of a product called Trafficizer. The book was written by Mike Koenigs, and it was called the 10x10x4 formula. Now, it was designed for video, mm-hmm. but I saw an idea there which I knew I could make work. So basically, what you do is you write down the top 5 to 10 questions that your prospects are asking you. And then in order to work with me, you would just write down 3 to 5 bullet points of actionable answers that you would give to this person's problem, or the client, or sorry, the problems of the clients. And then you send that list over to me, and I work with you to create an outline. And once that's done, I get on the phone, I interview the author, we'll say it's you in this case, but I interview you, I record it, transcribe it, send it back to you for corrections. We go back and forth till you're satisfied. Then I add a bio, call to action, and then I turn that into a book in multiple forms. So a PDF that you can send out as a digital file, Kindle, and then I put it on another platform called CreateSpace. So it gives you about 10 different points of contact with your audience. But the real key to this thing and where it really shines is that what you do is you take this book and you either give it away as a digital file or you can get prints made and you can distribute them. But the idea is with your prospect, you give them the book and that's it. And you don't ask for an order. You don't try to do anything. And you give them the space to read it. And when they realize that you've solved some of their most pressing problems and you haven't asked them for an order, they're far more likely to come back to you and say, hey, I like this. Can we talk? I'd like to work with you. And that's the premise behind it. And so it's a very different book. And the one last thing, it's designed to be written and published within a week. And if somebody follows my system, it will be that fast.
So this is, more and more common, although not enough people are doing this, is using this as an alternative to, I mean, some people call their book their business card. Some people call their book the foot in the door. But having a book positions you in somebody's mind very differently from your competitor who doesn't have a book. Just like Corel was positioned very differently because they had a book associated with their software and their competitor didn't have anything.
No, not like that. Not at the time. It was just a novel idea and it was really kind of funny in retrospect how it came together. But after we did this, then they had other stuff going on.
Yeah.
They could see the potential and they were doing other things, I found out later. But I was the first one with them at least.
So I heard a very interesting use for this authority book marketing, which is not simply to give the book to a prospect, but also to give books to referral partners or potential referral partners. For example, you know that I work with financial advisors, and maybe a good referral partner for them might be a estate planning attorney, for example, right? Somebody who writes wills. So simply giving a book to somebody, they now think, oh, well, this is you know, a piece of authority around what they do. And you know, these people are clearly experts in their field. So the next time they happen to be in a position to have to refer someone, and that book, which they haven't read, is sitting on their desk, I'll get to it someday, right? And the question comes up, you know, well, who should I talk to about this? Well, you're sitting there right in front of that referral partner day in, day out as a constant reminder that you're an authority in that area.
Yeah.
And I know at least one advisor who uses these books strategically that way as well.
Yeah. I mean, I know, like I was saying to you earlier, there's a guy, his name is Rick Hoogendorf, lives in Victoria, and he wanted to become an author. And what he did is he used the method of Byron Katie to figure out his mental blocks, and he did. And very quickly, he wrote his first book, which is called What's Stopping You? As a realtor, one of the things he does is he gives that book away and other books to prospects. Now, they're not about real estate, but they are about a useful journey and something that that person might be able to use. And because he's given the book out with his contact information and all that stuff, they're going to remember it. Far better than giving out any business card, that's for sure. And if they've got the book around, they're thinking, geez, I need to do something with real estate. Who is that guy? Oh, the book. And they look it up, and there he is.
And it also adds an additional dimension to him, too. He's not just, realtor, right? There's more stuff. They know more about him.
Well, they know more about him. It opens a whole bunch of doors. Like a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm going to write a book and make zillions out of it. But that's not how a book is normally used. You would use it for doing speaking engagements, for getting other opportunities. You do this thing about the giveaway. You could use it as a joint venture capacity, as part of a deal when you're setting up something. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can use it, but it positions you as an authority in your space. And in terms of everybody else out there, let's say you've got a whole bunch of people in this field, nobody's written a book, but this guy did. Who are they going to remember?
Yeah, that's great. So we were talking a little bit about your book.
Yeah.
And some of the things that you address in it about, you know, the types of questions that people ask, because it's a brilliant formula, right? You start with what everybody always wants to know and you address it. So do you want to share some of the types of things that people ask you?
Yeah, it was interesting because I did some polling to find out what the top 10 questions were. And the number one question I get with every single project is, how long is the book going to be? How many pages is it going to be in it? And I say to them, well, I have no way of knowing that. And I'm going, well, can you give me an estimate? And I'm going, no. And I go, well, why not? I said, because I have no idea what's going into your book. You know, I could throw out a number, but it's probably going to be wrong. Mm-hmm. I said, the only way that I'm ever going to be able to give you any information whatsoever is we have to do the very first step of writing any book. And I, unfortunately, I don't have one that I could pull up and give you, but if you open any book, you'll encounter the table of contents. Mm-hmm. Well, the table of contents was once something known as an outline. And now an outline is the foundation of your book. Or you could refer to it as like the keel of a ship or a roadmap or any of those things. But you have to define the structure, where you are and where you want to go and all the steps to getting there. And once you've defined all those steps, you've essentially written the book. So depending on the detail of the outline, how much goes into it, and then the other process of interviewing somebody for the content, once you have an outline, then you can give them a ballpark idea of how long you think the book will be. But again, there are other variables that come into play, such as like part of my process is interviewing somebody. Well, if somebody's long-winded, I might wind up with a lot of content. But if they are brief and they're to the point and they know exactly what they want to say, things are going to happen faster. But just to give you an idea, if we were to do an interview for a book and we were to talk, 1 hour produces approximately 10,000 words of content, which I then need to edit down because there are going to be repeats and stumbles and blind alleys. Even if somebody's a really good interviewee, there's still going to be that. And one of the last times I did it, we started with 9,000 words of content. By the time it was edited down, had about 5,000 words of content. But it was a very nice, very concise book. But this is the thing about this. If you write a book by interviewing, as we were talking about earlier, you can write something very, very, very fast. Like the days of trying to write it by hand are over. I mean, you can write a book very quickly if you're organized.
So one question out of what you just said, what is a blind alley?
Blind alley meaning that somebody will just, they will go off on a tangent, actually, which leads into a blind alley, meaning that you come to a point you can't go any further, and it's also the wrong direction. And so when I'm editing all this stuff, it's like, okay, what do I need to cut out? Mm-hmm. Because that's a big part of editing is cutting out, well, the expression, the wheat from the chaff idea.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with editing because people repeat themselves, you go over the same material, or they take a tangent and wind up in this thing that I call the blind alley. And it's just like, can't go any further. And it's the wrong direction too. So
in our discussion earlier, you talked about the book obviously giving a great deal of information, especially the most frequently asked questions, right? I'm curious to hear another one from you in a moment, if you care to share another.
I just need to reference my book here.
But one of the things that I'm curious about, because you mentioned it, was a call to action, actually telling people
absolutely
where to go next or what to do next. Give us an example of how that might be positioned in a book.
Well, it comes at the end of what you've written. So you address the questions, you have the answers, you have your bio, then you have a call to action, which could be, you know, a 20-minute free phone call to talk about any aspect of your business. It's typically something where you just want somebody to reach out to you, either send you an email or and you provide that information in a book so that they can contact you and reach out to you. Mm-hmm. And it can be really, really simple. Just if you find this really interesting, or you find it's been really helpful, here's my phone number, here's my email address. And that's a very simple call to action. Another one is where you provide a link to additional content, where you would say, well, you know, I've got another offer for you here, which may be something on your list. And if they sign up for that offer, then you've got them on the list. And that's a really important aspect of marketing, which we're talking about, this whole JVology thing. But building a list is crucial, because once you have somebody on a list, you can offer them a whole ton of products and services over time. You might have a client for years before the relationship is over.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So you found the content yearbook again. So I'm curious if there's another one that stands out in particular that you might want to share before we wrap things up.
Yeah, sure. Okay. One of the things, let me just find another one here. Give me a second here. Who owns the copyright? That's a really important question. Because what I'm doing when I'm working with an author is I'm acting as a ghostwriter. So when this book is said and done, you get the copyright. Everything is in your name. I write up an agreement, a non-disclosure agreement, which means that I will not divulge any of the information of how we did this. I sign it, you have a copy, and you get the copyright. Everything goes to you.
Interesting. Yeah. I think, you know, there's a lot of services out there that will help get a book published, but mm-hmm. a lot of them will be the publisher as well. And so it's very clear that, you know, this book was manufactured by, you know, a giant operation. And what you're talking about is something that is quite different.
Yeah. And in terms of the publishing, I mean, that's anonymous. Like the publishing, it goes through these different services like Amazon or Draft to Digital. That's the way it's being published. But there's no imprint on my part. I don't use any branding whatsoever. The only name that goes on that book is yours. And if there's an ISBN involved, that's your property. Everything goes to you, all of it.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, it's fascinating. And as you know, my partner and I wrote, I've actually written three books. We've never used a ghostwriter. Probably should, because the writing might be better. but we've used them very effectively for positioning ourselves authoritatively. And I love the idea of making this so much easier for the average business owner out there, so they don't have to go through even with all the shortcuts that I was aware of, the amount of time that we went through doing this. In terms of the process, and then we're going to wrap up. What is sort of the amount of time that you expect a client of yours spends on average on one of these projects?
Well, if they're working with me for probably a maximum of 10 hours and probably less, it really depends on how well organized both the client and myself are in terms of the outline. And it always comes down to that. Mm-hmm. And when I get into an interview with a client, I say to them up front, as a bit of coaching, is I'd like you to think about your answers to these questions before we get on a call, and how you can answer them in the most concise and direct way. Now, the reason I do that is because the clearer they can be, the easier it is in terms of the editing and the time that it takes to get it done.
Makes sense. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 10 hours on average or a typical amount of time is pretty impressive to have the asset that you provide them with at the end to do so many different things with. So I am curious where we can send people to learn more about what it is you're doing. I know you had mentioned a kind of unwieldy URL before we record. So what we're going to do for folks who want to learn more about your service is to send them to a link that we'll include in the show notes. Go ahead and click on that, and we'll send you over. And what are they going to find on that page?
Well, what they will find is what they call an opt-in form. And it's just a simple thing that introduces them to a book that I wrote, which is called How to Position Yourself as an Expert in Any Industry. And what they will get when they download that book is essentially everything that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Because when I wrote this with my audience, which is to do with book publishing, I had a whole ton of questions that people were asking me, and I addressed every single one of those in the book. So the way that I've written it is a template for what the book would look like for a client who decides to work with me. It'd be very similar. So I'd have a professional cover. It would be written for Kindle, for CreateSpace, for Drafted Digital. And it would just have a very simple look and feel. But the idea is to address those questions with actionable answers and all of that.
Excellent. And I love the idea of showing somebody exactly what they can do simply by representing the entire process.
It's a template. It's a template. It's what I use for myself. It's what I do for every client.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on your template and seeing how you present it and how you outline it and all of that. And I want to encourage our listeners to as well. So go ahead and click that link in the show notes. So Nathan Siegel, thank you so much for spending a bit of time with us today and talking about how to use a book to increase your authority and highlight your expertise in whatever industry you may be.
Thanks for having me.
Indeed. So, folks, you've been listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and I look forward to having you back once again real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.